7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
All right, we are back with AFC South Week, and it is none other than the Tennessee Titans this episode. And if you guys have not already checked out the previous episodes, check out the Indianapolis Colts, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and upcoming, the Houston Texans after the Tennessee Titans. And again, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can check us out on Twitter, at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. Check us out on our website, ponycakesports.com. Check out our buddies on their website, cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. And let's get right into it. The Titans last year finished the season 9-7, and they finished right below the Houston Texans, same record, but Houston won the division. And then Indianapolis Colts right underneath them, 8-8, and then Jacksonville underneath them, 3-13. So let's talk about some of the additions and subtractions that they had this offseason. Some of the subtractions that they've had: Jason McCourty, corner, ends up going to Cleveland, so he leaves Tennessee, goes over there. Al Woods, defensive tackle, goes to Indy. We talked about him last episode a little bit. Anthony Fasano, he leaves the Tennessee Titans, goes to Miami. Sean Spence, linebacker, goes to Indianapolis. Byron Bell, he goes to the Dallas Cowboys. And then your boy, Kendall Wright, Tim, he ends up going to the Chicago Bears. Chance Warmack, he goes to the Eagles. And, yeah, that's all I really have to add with the some of the guys that left the team.
Oh, hi, Josh. Nice to see you again. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well.
You came out like a damn auctioneer.
I'm not auctioneer.
You're just flying around like
he didn't even ask us how we were doing today.
I didn't know if we were talking football or selling cattle. I didn't know
just,
what the hell was
just
going
doing
on.
Work. That's all.
Jeez. So what was the question? I was just entranced by your talking. I didn't hear any of the words that you said.
I was just talking about some of the guys
that
left the team.
What team are we talking about? What team?
Are you serious right now?
No, I'm not serious. We're talking about the Titans. They had a decent offseason. I think they had a decent offseason. Tom, you look like you're dying for something to say. Go ahead.
For me, the biggest loss that the Titans had in this offseason was losing Sean Spence. They struggled, in all honesty, covering tight ends. I think Spence was probably their best coverage linebacker last season. So losing him is a pretty big loss in my eyes, especially when he's going to your division rival, the Indianapolis Colts, which the Titans have not beaten since Andrew Luck has been their quarterback.
You have anything else to add?
No, I can't even look at you right now. Just continue.
Some of the additions that they've had this offseason. One, Logan Ryan, corner, coming from the Patriots, comes to the Titans, a three-year deal. Jonathan Cyprien comes from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, a guy that we talked previously in an episode. He goes to the Tennessee Titans, four-year deal there. Sylvester Williams, defensive tackle, coming from the Broncos. Carl Klug, still on the Titans, re-signs with the Titans. Then who else do we have? Eric Weems. I think as much as I hate Eric Weems, because I hate Eric Weems, he's still a decent special teams guy that can do something.
Yeah, if he was on the Chicago Bears right now, he'd probably be their number one wide receiver. So that's one hell of a signing.
He's okay. He can be a kick returner. He needs to do something about his hair. He's got a hairline that's basically halfway up his damn head. So I feel bad for the guy. They had some decent additions. I'm interested to see what Tim Lolito from the Saints, what he will be for, what he can do for them. The Sylvester Williams on the defensive side of the ball would be a value addition to that defense as well. So see what happens.
Anybody else you guys want to touch on, or you guys good?
I think I'm all right. They needed to address that cornerback spot.
Yeah.
So getting Logan Ryan from the Pats, that's a big-time signing for them, in all honesty. They needed to add more at that cornerback spot. They did that in the draft. We'll be talking about that shortly. But getting Logan Ryan was a definite need for the Titans.
Yeah, I think adding one Jonathan Cyprien as well is a very good underrated signing. 4-year deal, $25 million. I think adding him was a very good job.
Helps that secondary tremendously.
All right.
Right now I see him, though, most places are saying he's going to be their free safety, which I don't think is the best scenario.
No.
He's that in-the-box safety, that thumper, that guy that is good at stopping the run. Looks lost, though, in coverage in my eyes when I watch him on tape. When I've seen the Colts play the Jaguars, they target him often. So if they're planning on him being their free safety, their pass defense might be in trouble yet again.
All right, well, let's talk about some other guys that will be key additions to the Tennessee Titans, and that is the 2017 draft class.
In my eyes, the Titans had two glaring needs at the start of the draft. Weapons for Marcus Mariota on the offensive side of the football, and then more help in the secondary. With the fifth overall selections, the Titans hit on one of their needs and selected wide receiver Corey Davis from Western Michigan. Corey Davis was our highest-ranked wide receiver in this class, yet we all thought he'd be the second wide receiver picked due to his injuries and not being able to perform at any of the pre-draft process events. Corey Davis, he's a big-bodied wide receiver. He's going to line up on the perimeter for the Titans for years to come. Very efficient route runner, very good hands, can do it all. And pairing him with Marcus Mariota is something the Titans needed to do. I was a little shocked at the pick, in all honesty. I didn't think they were going wide receiver with their first overall selection, but it's giving them a true number one wide receiver option for years to come.
Yeah, I love Corey Davis. I like everything that he brings to the table. It's kind of a weird situation. I just don't like the fit with the Tennessee Titans. That's just me personally. I don't like the fact that they wanted to change to a run-heavy scheme where they have a DeMarco Murray, they have a Derrick Henry, and then they're running the ball, doing that. They already had a Rishard Matthews, and it just, man, it's tough. But it does give them a number one wide receiver that they did not have. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do there, because they did add a wide receiver later on in the draft as well.
Barring that ankle, he is by far the number one wide receiver, like you guys said. Like Tom, you mentioned big body. I'm interested to see how his game translates from Western Michigan, but this is a guy who should come in and be an immediate impact for the Titans on the offensive side of the ball.
With their second first-round selection, the Titans went after their other need of adding secondary help. They added a Dory Jackson cornerback from USC. First of all, I absolutely hate this pick. Jackson, he was cornerback number 7 on my big board. In all honesty, I think it was a total reach. Adoree is no doubt, he's a playmaker. Excelled in special teams at USC. Extremely fast, very athletic. But he lacks that ideal size that a lot of teams are looking for in cornerback in today's game. Only 5'10", 186 pounds. Very good tackler, though. According to Pro Football Focus, was a top 12 tackling cornerback in this draft class. He struggled against John Brown, though. Watch that Washington USC film. Got absolutely burned multiple times, and that should be his bread and butter, stopping those type of receivers that are smaller, faster, and he absolutely struggled. He doesn't have the best hips or feet that you're looking for in a shutdown corner, and I don't think he's going to be a shutdown corner at the next level. I think he's going to struggle in that department quite a bit.
I hated this pick. I wouldn't have even minded to see the Titans do go anywhere else. Part of me was wondering if they would, just because then with the two first-round picks, if they would take a Sidney Jones at 18, you know, look towards the future. Tre'Davious White much more at the cornerback position. There were numerous options that they could have gone with here, and I feel, Tom, like you said, Dory Jackson is a reach. I feel like they fell in love with his special teams highlight film, and that's kind of they bought high.
Yeah, there were times last year while he was at USC where he could have been quote unquote one of the best corners in the nation. And then there's times where you look at him where he was matched up against one Chris Godwin out of Penn State, and he just torched him over and over again. And it's kind of – that's what you may get when you get him on the field this season. He could be making some big plays on the special team side. He could maybe make four or five interceptions, and then there's going to be those lapses in judgment where a wide receiver burns him for, you know, a 70-yard touchdown. It's going to be an up-and-down season for him, but coming in at an early, pick, he better bring it, so.
The Titans had a plan of getting Marcus Mariota tons of weapons in this draft class, and they did that in the third round and got him another wide receiver, Taywan Taylor from Western Kentucky. I think he's going to take over that Kendall Wright role, playing the slot a lot. He did a lot of his work at Western Kentucky over the middle and playing, lining up in the slot. When he gets the ball in his hands, this kid's a playmaker, averaged over 7 yards after the catch in college, very shifty, and he's very good at making the defenders miss. This pick makes a lot of sense in my eyes.
I didn't care for it, especially with what they gave up. I mean, they gave up the 83rd and the 124th overall pick to do this, and I don't see a Taywan Taylor that valuing that. I don't. I mean, the next wide receiver off the board, an Ardarius Stewart, Carlos Henderson that went after, and even a Chris Godwin. I would have liked all three of those guys back at 84, which is where the they could have gotten Chris Godwin. So I would have taken a Chris Godwin over what's his name again?
Taywan Taylor.
Personally,
yeah, it's tough with Taylor because, you know, he's a bubble screen guy. I don't want to say a gadget guy because he's more than that. And you're going to see a lot of screens. You're going to see a lot of little flare routes type deal. But I thought they had a player like that with a Tajay Sharp, you know. I mean, Tajay's a little bit more elusive down the field, but it'll be interesting. Again, they got more weapons for Marcus Mariota, and that's what he had in college. And the more weapons, kind of, I said the same thing with Jameis Winston when we were talking about him. You get him more weapons, the better off he is.
The Titans weren't finished surrounding Mariota with weapons. With their second, third-round selection, they gave Mariota another tight end. They run a lot of two tight end sets, and they got Jonnu Smith from Florida International. I really didn't know a lot about this kid, in all honesty, when the pick was announced. But after watching a lot of tape on him, I like the kid. He's going to be a chess piece, going to be able to be moved around, going to be that move tight end for Mike Mularkey and the Titans. He's got good speed for a tight end, a little different than what they have right now. Might not be that straight-up inline blocking tight end that they've used as their number two tight end in their system, but he's going to give them value.
They see Smith as the next Delanie Walker.
Yep.
Very, very similar in the style of game that they play. So maybe they just see him as, you know, maybe next year, the year after. You know, Walker obviously is kind of aging here rather quickly, slowly starting to reduce his production. Maybe they see him as the long-term replacement.
Yeah, I don't mind him. He can block, he can catch, he can run after the catch. And kind of like you said, a replacement for Delanie Walker. And again, just getting more weapons around Marcus Mariota, and I'm definitely fine with it. You don't have to throw him out there to be the guy right away. Delanie Walker still probably got a year or two left in him. And then kind of see what you got in this kid, and if he's the answer, then you kind of have that situation where you had Antonio Gates and then you had Ladarius Green. And then, you know, Ladarius Green was supposed to be that next great tight end for Antonio Gates. And then what happened? He wasn't. And Antonio Gates is still there and Hunter Henry's there. So you can figure out if he's going to be the guy. And if not, then you replace him with somebody else down the road. But he's got a lot of talent.
The Titans have addressed probably their two biggest needs overall in this draft in the first few rounds. They also had another need. They needed to find a linebacker who can cover. They lost probably their best coverage linebacker in Sean Spence to the Colts. I was kind of shocked they waited to the fifth round to address this need, but they got linebacker Jaylen Brown from UCLA. He's a nice fit. Wesley Woodyard and Avery Williamson, they got beat way too much last year by mid-level tight ends. I think Brown's going to be asked to come in on third downs and try to cover. He's an undersized kid. Don't see him being a starter, but he will get playing time. This guy can cover, and that's what he's best at.
Yeah, they're looking for a guy with a high ceiling, and worst-case scenario, he's going to be a special teams guy probably. You'll see him go in there, and he's going to get his opportunities, whether it be on third down, whether it be filling in for, you know, guys' injuries, rest, whatever it may be. Jaylen Brown's going to get some reps.
Yeah, he got a lot of talk when Miles Jack went out of the lineup when he did get hurt, so I mean, as shitty as it is for Miles Jack, that was the best opportunity for one Jayon Brown. So, again, like you said, kind of like a special teams guy to start out, he will get opportunities to play, and it'll be exciting to see what he can do.
Titans have one of the better offensive lines in football. They've invested a lot of high picks into their offensive line, and it has paid out for them so far. They decided in the sixth round to add another young offensive lineman. They selected guard Corey Levin from Chattanooga. He's big, strong, mean, pretty much what Tennessee likes for their offensive linemen. They're very deep at the interior offensive lineman spot. So this guy, he can be cut. He might be a practice squad player, but overall I don't see him getting much play time. There's probably four or five guys ahead of him right now on that depth chart.
He's a guy who, he's a body that, yep. Hey, bring him in. Maybe he exceeds our expectations and ends up being a rotation guy. But like you said, Tom, would not be surprised to see him cut.
Yeah, the only thing that I've read over and over about him is that he can possibly play guard and tackle.
Yeah.
So if he can do that, then possibly he can latch on and stay there. But we'll see what happens with him.
With their first seventh-round pick, the Titans got edge rusher Josh Caraway from TCU. He's going to be a developmental pass rusher. He's got very good traits, very inconsistent on tape, though. They needed to start adding depth behind their starters. They don't have much depth at the position. Arakpo and Morgan, they were very good last year, but we've seen Arakpo struggle with staying on the field. So they needed to get some young talent behind those two guys.
Give him an option. Give him someone, hey, son, get out there. Let's see what kind of pressure you can put on the quarterback. It'll be that potential third down option to go out there and try to get after someone. Let's see what you can do. A prove it guy.
And the second seventh-round pick, they got another kind of project player, Brad Seaton, offensive tackle from Villanova. Huge kid, 6'8", 330 pounds, big man. But he most likely would be a practice squad player. They got two absolute studs at the tackle position in Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin. So he's not going to get much playing time, but he's got those traits that you're looking for, something you can't teach, and he's got a unique size and build to him.
The guy's an absolute monster. I mean, he's from the Bronx in New York. If you look at him, he looks like the guy in the Bronx in New York, someone that if you owe someone money, Brad Seaton's the guy that they're going to send to collect. Big, scary guy who, again, maybe he pans out, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, he's huge. That's all I really
Oh, yeah.
He's a monster.
Can't teach that size right there. And that's it for the draft.
No, actually, there's one more pick.
Yeah, this guy's
getting a lot. I didn't want to talk about
it. Dude, he's getting a lot of talk in camp right now.
He ain't getting any play. We got DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry.
I'm thinking more special teams-wise. This guy is being talked about being the fastest guy in camp right now. And I don't think he's going to be any factor whatsoever on third downs. I don't think you'll ever see him on a sub-package or doing anything like that. But if they decide that they want to really focus on Adoree Jackson being a corner and not doing special teams, this is a guy that you could possibly see out there returning kicks or punts, one or the other.
No, you won't. Khalfani Muhammad is his name. I do not see him even making this team. I hate this pick by the Tennessee Titans. I just wanted to make sure that was known.
That's why I skipped him.
I know, but Josh is over here trying to say, oh, yeah, I know they have Adoree Jackson, but maybe they'll try to trick people and put this guy in there. Oh, yeah, maybe.
I'm just saying, there's a possibility you might see him on there.
He's got a chance, yeah. In all honesty. I probably shouldn't have not covered him, but I really didn't want to.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, maybe it'll rain Skittles tomorrow, Josh. Who knows?
I definitely don't think he's going to make the team as a true running back. He's not going to be the third down running back. He's not going to be the third on the depth chart. All I'm saying is he has a chance on special teams.
Blah, blah,
that's
blah.
All I got. All right, let's talk about fantasy football, Tim. Let's go over to you.
All right, let's talk it here and go over one Marcus Mariota. I guess the big question for him is he's coming off of his broken leg. Obviously, everyone's talking about it. Derek Carr, I think it's kind of getting overlooked for one Marcus Mariota. He finished 13th-ranked quarterback in fantasy football last year, had his ups and downs, but through that mid-season there, went through a stretch from week 5 to week 12, all right around 20 points. You know, had a couple games there, 16, 19, but the rest, 30, 27, 25, 27, 22, 21. I mean, those are the numbers that you want to see out of a young quarterback fantasy-wise. After the bye, though, I mean, just killer for if you were basically running with Mariota into the playoffs, you hated your life. That week 14 against Denver, 88 yards. That's it. Week 16 against Jacksonville, 99 yards, one touchdown. Not what you want to see. To me, I don't necessarily see him being drafted. He's probably the top guy of my to watch if I'm doing flyer wire for a quarterback. But what do you guys think?
I think Mariota should be drafted in most leagues. Look, like you brought up, Tim, between weeks 5 and 12, he definitely hit his stride, and he still finished quarterback 13. Week 16, he got hurt against Jacksonville. 17, didn't play, and still put up close to quarterback 1 numbers. He deserves to be picked. They've done nothing but surround this kid with weapons, young talent, and I think he's got all the opportunity in the world to be a number one quarterback. And what makes him so effective is his rushing ability. This kid can, out of nowhere, just get 40 yards on a rush. And it's absolutely almost impossible to limit this guy. And for any defensive coordinator, if you leave one hole open, this kid is gone. And that's going to produce tons of fantasy points for this guy.
Yeah, I think that's the most missed stat for Marcus Mariota. You look at some of those rushing attempts that he did have last year. And, you know, you go back from week one, he had 4 rushes in week one, just under 20 yards. Yeah, you don't really think of it as much, but that's 1.9 points now in decimal scoring. And then you look at, like, later on, you have week 5 where he had 7 rushes for 60 yards and a touchdown. Those are all extra added bonus points where you look at a quarterback such as, like, an Eli Manning, right? When's the last time Eli Manning's had a rush for over 1.5 yards? It was last year in week whatever, I think it was 14 or 15, but the time before that was like a whole season ago. Like it's outrageous, you know? So you look at those little differences between like a Marcus Mariota and Eli Manning, that could separate two quarterbacks right there.
Mariota might not throw for over 4,000 yards. We've seen quarterbacks like Russell Wilson, we saw Dak Prescott put up big-time fantasy seasons because of their rushing ability, and Mariota has that. Yeah, he's had a couple gruesome injuries the last 2 seasons, but this team is going to rely on the run, but that is also going to open up his run game, and I really like the offensive line that Tennessee has built in front of him.
Let's move on to the running back position. One of the most interesting backfields to watch, one of the most interesting couple of guys when it comes in terms of drafting running back. You have DeMarco Murray, who obviously had another great year last year, just shy of 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns. Also had one receiving touchdown. One passing touchdown and 3 receiving touchdowns. So, and only had 1 fumble last year. 240 points, was the 5th ranked fantasy running back. But with all that said, on his heels is it one young Derrick Henry, who showed specifically towards the end of midseason, towards the end of the year, that he may be the guy of the future. You know, DeMarco Murray had 7 carries shy of 300. Derrick Henry still had 110, had just shy of 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. Made the most of the time that he had on the field. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts? Obviously, DeMarco Murray is still going to be drafted very high. Do you want him on your team with a Derrick Henry nipping at his heels?
DeMarco Murray might be that running back who's being drafted early that I'm most scared of, in all honesty. It's kind of between him and Jordan Howard right now. But I think Derrick Henry's going to get more touches this year. Last year, yeah, he only had 110 rushing attempts. I think he's going to get more than that this year. That could drive down DeMarco Murray's total rushes. He had close to 300 last year. Murray has the ability to still be a productive running back. But the the Titans invested a second-round pick on Henry. They're going to want him to get the football more. They're going to want him to carve out that niche in that system for himself. So it does make me a little worrisome. But Murray still has game left.
Derrick Henry had over 25% of the carries. Josh, do you see the number kind of coming back to earth for DeMarco Murray, and it gets closer to like a 60-40 split, a 70-30 split? What do you see?
Yeah, I don't truly see a 60-40 split, just for the fact that they added a Corey Davis, they added a tight end, they added another wide receiver, and we've talked about over and over again that they want to be more of that rushing team, but at the same time, they're adding Marcus Mariota more and more offensive weapons. So I think Murray is still going to be that guy, and I think Derrick Henry will get his, but I think a true 60-40 split is, I'm not going to say out of the realm of possibility, but I think it's a little far-fetched. I think a 70-30, I would probably see that more realistic, but the other thing that I did notice at the end of last year is that Derrick Henry actually did a pretty decent job of catching the ball out of the backfield as well. You know, there was a game where he had 4 catches, another game where he had 2 catches for 22 yards. I mean, those are decent numbers for a big-bodied running back that isn't known for catching the ball in the backfield.
It'll be definitely interesting to see. Do either of you guys run a risk, if you would, or take a chance on a Derrick Henry late, and where would you take him?
I wouldn't mind drafting him late, taking a late-round flyer on him. Maybe like the 10th or 11th round if I have DeMarco Murray on my team. But most likely I will not be owning either of them. It's kind of a volatile situation right now. And Murray scares me. And I really like what Henry can bring to the table, though. When he's been given the opportunity, he's been successful. We saw at the end of the year, he was scoring. And week 15, he had 17.8 fantasy points. And non-standard scoring now, I think, is the proper term with decimal scoring. But that's pretty damn good. And this kid can do damage if given the opportunity. It's just a matter of fact if he will get the opportunity this year.
Yeah, I feel like if I'm a DeMarco owner, I feel like I would have to try to get Derrick Henry somehow, just in case if DeMarco Murray does get hurt. But to be honest, I'm not really too worried with DeMarco. I think he'll be fine this year. And if he lasted, you know, mid late round 2, I'm okay with that. I'm pretty happy with that. But I'm not reaching and taking him at the end of round 1 like I've seen in a couple mock drafts that I've done previously. But if he's like there mid late round 2, I'm all right with that.
So what you have to keep into consideration here is all of DeMarco Murray's guaranteed money is in through this year. He signed that big contract, 4 years, $25.25 million, before the 2016 season. That 12.5 guaranteed is last year and this year. So the Titans have an out after this year. Before the 2018 season, there's actually a $250,000 roster bonus if DeMarco Murray is still on the team. So you're talking, you know, between that and the $6.5 million he's owed in 2018. You know, pushing $7 million, I would not be surprised. That's why I'm really kind of banking on Derrick Henry here a little bit more. I would definitely run a flyer pick on him late in the draft because the Titans are going to be pushing him. If they can save, you know, close to $7 million and not have to pay a DeMarco Murray, who will be 30 years old next year, I see the Titans absolutely pushing Derrick Henry.
Yeah, they're definitely going to see what they have in him. And if he is showing the coaches and the personnel department that he can be the guy, DeMarco Murray will not be on the Tennessee Titans team next year.
It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Let's talk about a very interesting wide receiving core in Tennessee. So we talked at length about Corey Davis, about Taywan Taylor. We'll talk about their fantasy value here in a second. The two guys last year, I guess with the most juice in there, Rishard Matthews, a guy that is near and dear to my heart, finished as the 14th ranked wide receiver last year. He was the 22 in PPR, 15th in the non-PPR league. What can you say? I mean, mid-season towards the end of the year, Rishard Matthews is the reason why I was able to make my run last year. I picked him up, and he covered DeAndre Hopkins' ass when DeAndre Hopkins didn't show up. And how did the Titans reward him? By bringing in two rookie wide receivers. On the one of the other wide receivers last year, Tajay Sharp, had a couple of good games, but pretty much fantasy irrelevant outside of, you know, maybe two or three games last year. Guys, and then you had a Harry Douglas in there as well. What are your thoughts on what the Titans are bringing to the wide receiver core?
In all honesty, I'm kind of scared for Rishard Matthews' fantasy value. I like the player, and I liked him coming over from Miami. I didn't think he'd put up the type of numbers that he did last season. Look, dude only had 108 targets on the season, but had 9 touchdowns, 945 yards, which is a pretty good year, and definitely a guy you should have been starting almost week in and week out. But the addition of Corey Davis is going to put those numbers down quite a bit in my eyes. I do not have him in my wide receiver 30 this year. I didn't last year, but I just think Matthews is going to struggle getting the amount of touchdowns that he got last year, and that's what made him so fantasy relevant.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, except for the fact that I'm staying away from Tennessee Titans wide receivers in general. I think Rishard Matthews is going to have an okay season, definitely not the same season he had last year, and I think Corey Davis is going to have an okay season. Again, probably not going to surpass the numbers that Rishard Matthews had last year either, but I don't know. There's just something about this offense right now. It's like in the middle. Yeah, they got so many weapons. They added so many pieces to the puzzle. They just don't, I don't think they have an identity right now. They got two running backs. They want to be a running team, but you add all these offensive playmakers on offense outside of the running game. I just think they haven't decided which way they want to go.
What round would you be willing to draft one Rishard Matthews?
It's going to be a classic thing where he outperformed his
ADP
last year, right? So he had a very good year last year. Again, he finished, what, 13th, 15th, whatever?
Yep.
So he ended up 15th last year. And theoretically, when you finish 15th in a spot like that, you should be, what, third, fourth round pick at the latest. I think I would be comfortable enough to pick him in the 7th, maybe, with the addition of Corey Davis, and I feel like that I'm still not comfortable with. I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, right now on ESPN, he's going average of 92, which is like the 8th, I believe. But there's a ton of receivers being drafted after him right now that I'd much rather have. Look, Mike Wallace, I'd rather have Wallace. Well, maybe not now with the addition of Macklin. Adam Thielen, Cameron Meredith, Jordan Matthews, Randall Cobb, John Brown, Kenny Britt, Corey Coleman, Macklin, Ross, Parker. I'd probably have all those guys before Rishard Matthews, in all honesty.
Yeah.
So here's my only input to it, and I'm going to try to stay off my Rishard Matthews love, but how often do we see young wide receivers come in that are supposed to be the guy? And on top of that, he's coming in with an injury. You know, he's not known to be 100% healthy. I'm definitely be willing. All those guys that you mentioned outside of maybe Randall Cobb and one or two others, I like Rishard Matthews exactly where Josh is putting there, you know, around that 7th round. If he was my 3rd wide receiver, which he has the potential to be on my team if I decide to keep him in our league, he's still the guy. I can see him going out there. If there is no Corey Davis, Rishard Matthews is going to go out there and put out those same numbers that he did last year, in my opinion.
Who was the guy for the New York Giants before Odell Beckham Jr. got there?
Victor Cruz.
Odell Beckham Jr. came in with an injury, correct?
Yep.
And you know what he did? He blew up that year. He had a great fantasy year. Michael Thomas came in last year. Wasn't supposed to be the guy, but he came in with an injury as well. Didn't linger into the season. He blew up, took over the number one spot as well. Those are two examples of wide receivers that are rookies that came in and actually did something. And the only reason why I referenced the Odell Beckham Jr. one is because I remember, Tom, you drafted him and ended up cutting him because he missed, what, 4 weeks?
Yep.
Or 5 weeks or whatever. So that's a perfect example. That does happen from time to time. And Victor Cruz at the time was known as the guy for the Giants.
Well, to be fair, Victor Cruz, his health was always an issue. So that was part of it, over the reason why he couldn't stay on the field. And you bring up that Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas still finished behind Brandon Cooks last year.
Correct.
So, I mean, I see where you're going. There's far more examples of wide receivers being taken in the first round and not performing to their talent, especially over these last few years coming in with injury. So you can name two off the top of my head, Laquon Treadwell and Kevin White. Both guys who are supposed to come in and be immediate impacts. Treadwell has one catch in his rookie career, and Kevin White has struggled to stay on the football field. So it's just, I agree with everything that you guys are saying. You have to be very, very careful, and you should not be, depending on Rishard Matthews in any way. But as a third wide receiver to the fourth wide receiver, I feel like he's definitely has the potential to be a valuable asset. Closing out the Tennessee Titans, I wanted to see too. I meant to bring it up in running backs. Did you guys see that sometime this week, DeMarco Murray compared the Titans offensive line to the Cowboys offensive line?
Yep, I saw that.
What the hell is that guy thinking? You think it's that? I mean,
I think Titans O line's good.
It's good, but it's not. Great.
I think the Titans' offensive line is good, but to put it where the Cowboys' offensive line, I think it's a little far fetched. I don't think it's like way out there. I don't think you're on Earth and Pluto. I think it's close. I don't think it's as far as you think it is.
Well, nevertheless, sorry, just I forgot I wanted to talk to you guys about that. Last but not least, Delanie Walker, the 32 now going to be 33-year-old. When the season starts, what are your guys' thoughts on him? He obviously came out last year and was Delanie Walker, right? He's 800 yards, 7 touchdowns. He was the 5th-ranked tight end. 123 fantasy points, that's what you want out of a tight end. Can help you win a championship. What are your thoughts on him here in 2017?
I really want to see if Delanie is going to keep getting the amount of targets that he has been. He's been consistently getting over 100. Hit 102 last year, and like Tim said, 800 yards, 7 touchdowns. That's a quality fantasy tight end. Last year was extremely ugly at the position, and Delanie still finished 5th. And with the addition of Jonnu Smith and all the other wide receivers, it's kind of making me a little nervous. It kind of seems like the Tennessee Titans are getting ready to either get rid of him or kind of phase him out of this offense.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with you, Tom. But like I said before, you kind of have to see what you have in Smith before you can declare that, because I made that reference with Antonio Gates and Ladarius Green before. It could be that same situation. Who knows? Delanie Walker can prove to us that he still has 4 more, 5 more years left in him. He's a little bit older, but at the same time, like, who knows? You don't know. Antonio Gates has been doing it now for the last couple years, and eventually he'll be replaced. But I think he's all right this year. If you're going to rely on him as your starting fantasy tight end, I'm completely okay with it. I have no issue with that whatsoever.
Walker's kind of that low ceiling, high floor guy. He's going to get you that 700 to 800 yards and 6 to 8 touchdowns, and you'll feel fine with drafting him. And he's going to be that steady, old, reliable player for you.
That's all I have in terms of fantasy, gents.
Anything else with fantasy-wise?
That's about it for me.
Let me ask you guys this question. You have Marcus Mariota and you have one Jameis Winston on the board. All right, two guys drafted the same year, two teams now adding more and more offensive weapons. Which quarterback would you rather have fantasy football-wise?
I will take Jameis Winston. I like what he has there a little bit more. I like the DeSean Jackson deep threat. I like the O.J. Howard red zone. I like the young wide receiver in Chris Godwin. I like everything that the Bucs are building there. And we talked about, Mariota moving on his feet. Winston has that and then some, and isn't coming off a broken wheel. So,
yeah, I agree with Tim. Look, Mariota, he's missed some time last two seasons. Winston's been pretty healthy. And I think the weapons that have been awarded to Winston over this past free agency period they've been there. They've done it before. And I think O.J. Howard is an elite tight end prospect. They still have Cameron Brate. And I think the running game will be just as effective with Tampa Bay. really high on Doug Martin. I think Tampa Bay's offense is going to take the step in the right direction this year. And I really like what Jameis Winston has been doing as of late.
Let me ask you guys this question. You talked about in a previous episode when we broke down the Jacksonville Jaguars that you would not feel comfortable with Leonard Fournette as your number one running back. Tim, you said you would feel comfortable with him as your number one running back.
Yeah, it is.
You have Leonard Fournette, and you have DeMarco Murray on the board. You have to take one. Who?
I'm taking Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, in all honesty, I'd probably take Fournette as well.
Just with the situation Tennessee is in that I broke down at length before, I do not trust DeMarco Murray, and he's at that magic age. It's that age that you see running backs all the time who are drafted early, you know, first round, second round, and then disappear. They vanish, and they're never heard from again, cut from the team. And not there's a chance, and I don't want this to happen to DeMarco Murray. I'm not just saying. It's just this type of situation at 29 years old. He has a bad year. The Titans cut him, and no one gives him a chance ever again. It's possible. You see it all the time in the NFL. That scares me. All
right. Where do we see the Tennessee Titans finishing the year record-wise, and we're at in the AFC South?
I like what the Tennessee Titans have done. They have surrounded Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota with weapons. I do not think they've done enough on the defensive side of the football to stop the passing attack that has absolutely murdered them the past few seasons. I don't think they're going to be able to get around Andrew Luck. They have not beaten him since he's been in the NFL. I have the Tennessee Titans falling back to an 8-8.
All good things must come to an end, and the streak against Andrew Luck will do just that. On Monday Night Football, October 16th, the Tennessee Titans will beat the Indianapolis Colts. That is a game in Tennessee. I have the Titans competing for this division. I have them finishing with the same exact record as the Indianapolis Colts, 10-6. I said it during the Colts breakdown, and I will say it now as well. I feel like each team will get a win. The Titans will win at home. The Colts will win at home. It'll come down to some crazy tiebreak. I don't know who wins this division. It'll be either the Titans or the Colts, both finishing 10-6.
All right. I like that. That's not bad.
What do you got?
I have them at 7 wins. I got them dropping back 2 games. So a little bit further down than you guys.
Why is that?
They have some winnable games at the end of the season. Tim, I like what you said with the Colts. They'll split games or whatever. I don't see it happening. I just think Andrew Luck is going to be healthy. The wide receiver core is going to be healthy. You're going to see that defense play a lot better. And this Tennessee Titans defense is just not where I would want to see it at. They've made some additions, but there's just some still room to improve. And I think there's tough games on their schedule. You know, Raiders. They got the Seahawks. They got the Texans, who won the division last year. They got the Dolphins, who are up and coming. The Colts. They have the Ravens, whose defense has been, I think, is going to be lights out this year. The Steelers is a tough game, but they do have 3 winnable games at the end of the year with the 49ers, Rams, and Jaguars. That'll be the difference right there. I think that may be the difference, and where we'll see if they will flip their season around, if we're going to see 7 wins or we're going to see 10 wins.
Guess my theory comes in. They were 9-7 last year. They had a plus 43 point differential, and this team is better. This team is better now. As long as health issues, obviously, a big concern here. Listen, if Mariota doesn't come back and he's not the same, if Corey Davis isn't who, you know, they think he's going to be, obviously those are huge, huge issues. But if they are healthy, I think they're better on both sides of the football.
My other thing is, too, if we see them only at best as a 7-win team, right? So maybe they're only at 5 wins before the last 3 games of the season. Maybe they do decide that Derrick Henry's the guy, and you're going to see him completely take over, and you're not going to see DeMarco Murray from there on out. And then you'll start seeing a changing of the guard of sorts.
Those tough games that you talk about, the Seahawks, the Ravens, those are both at home. That's the thing. I
mean, they are, yeah.
They're at home, and like you said, ending the game in Arizona obviously is a tough one on the road towards the end of the season. But like you said, 49ers, Rams, Jaguars, I see them. They were 2-4 in the division last year as well. I feel like they will be better there. Being a better team, being better in the division, and having some winnable games. Their hardest game of the year, I think, is that opening weekend at home against the Raiders. That'll kind of be a good a good gauging point to see where what their season's going to be like.
Yeah, that will be an awesome game, and that'll kind of show everyone where the Tennessee Titans stack with the rest of the AFC. Because the Raiders, everyone's high on them right now. Carr's coming back from an injury. They got Marshawn Lynch. They've added tons of talent on that defense. Let's see how good they are.
If they come out and totally shellack the Raiders, then everything changes for this Tennessee Titan team. Like, everything. I think their season, I don't want to say flipped around because it's just starting, but it is going to be, I think, something special. They have to come out and make a statement with that first game because you have Carr, you have Marshawn Lynch, you have all these guys that are, it's just, you got to come out and make a statement with that game.
Do you think the NFL is like, hey, you know what, you broke your leg, you know, we're going to have you guys, we'll give you both a kind of even playing field here. That's why they played week one.
Yeah, maybe. Do you guys have a bold prediction for this season for the Tennessee Titans? One prediction that we haven't really hit on, anything? I mean, you make stupid comments, Tim. You got anything?
Well, no. Tim has to have something. I feel like it's pretty bold saying that they're going to win Monday Night Football at home. I think them being 10-6 is a pretty bold prediction for this team. I feel like all my predictions are bold, Josh. I'm a bold type of individual. I don't just try to follow the leader like you guys do and just go along with what you think the listeners want to hear. Okay, I make realistic, bold predictions every day of my life.
Okay.
My one big bold prediction, DeMarco Murray finishes outside the top 12 running backs.
I guess my bold prediction is that Derrick Henry will overtake DeMarco Murray as the starting running back of the Tennessee Titans by the end of the year.
All right, that's interesting. That's all I really got. I didn't really have a bold prediction, so I just wanted to ask the question.
He just follows the leader. He doesn't have bold predictions.
No, if I do have one, and it's not really one because he's drafted as a high draft pick, Corey Davis, I think he will lead the team in receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, and targets and receptions. Everything across the board.
Good prediction,
Josh. As I think he should. So, well, I know you love Rishard Matthews. So.
I do. I love him a lot.
But I think he will lead across the board on every category. So, anything else, guys?
That's it.
All right. That's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed the AFC South breakdown for the Indianapolis Colts. Or not Indianapolis Colts, the Tennessee Titans. I'm looking at the Colts right there. You're talking about how they're going to split it halfway. So I'm looking at the Monday night game for the Tennessee Titans. Hope you guys enjoyed. And, you guys can follow us on Twitter at PonyKickSports, at PonyKickTom, at PonyKickTim. Follow us on our website, PonyKickSports.com. And hit up our buddies on Twitter at CleatGeeks and check out their website, CleatGeeks.com as well. They do a bunch of articles, a bunch of other stuff. And Tim, go ahead.
And they have the team juggling trials for 2017 coming up as well.
That's all we got for you guys. See you next time.